Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back at 34 after the hour, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you to one of the best small business websites on the planet. Lots of things there you won't find anywhere else. About a thousand archives, actually over 1,000 archives of shows that we've done in the past, including some with our good friend Ed Yordan, who's going to join us in just a few seconds, and also hundreds and hundreds of articles. Lots of good stuff there. You can listen to this show three different ways on demand, and so check it out at jbsba.com. Ed Yordan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an internationally recognized consultant, lecturer, and author of a couple of dozen books, including one I'm holding in my hand called Byte Wars. Ed is one of the world's experts on the industry called information technology, and he's our good friend. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, Ed. Ed, one of the issues that I know you've been following lately, and that you've actually been in the middle of a little bit of controversy, perhaps, but this is something you've been working on for a long time. You're one of the experts in this field, and that is the loss of computer programming jobs, of IT jobs overseas. The shifting of from America being kind of the base, the origin of all this IT. Work to other parts of the world, like China and especially India. And I want you to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been going on for a long time. I think that's something important for people to realize. This is not an overnight phenomenon. I wrote a book in 1992 based on a visit that I made to India in 1989, so 15 years ago almost, called The Decline and Fall of the American Programmer, because I could see the trend developing then. It certainly strongest, and we hear most about it in India, but we're going to be seeing even more of it in China in the next decade. And it's based on a pretty deadly combination of lower salaries, you know, by a factor of three or four, higher productivity and higher quality in many cases. It basically is the same thing the Japanese did to us in the automobile industry back in the 1970s.
Well, it is important to understand, as you say, that we realize this has been going on for a long time. You actually wrote a book about this about 10 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, it was called The Decline and Fall of the American Programmer.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you said that. You've taken a little bit of heat about that too, right, over in the last few years?
Well, I have. Actually, I took a lot of heat initially because people didn't believe it. And in some ways, I turned out to be kind of ahead of my time, because the entire industry grew so rapidly throughout the 90s that it was able to gobble up all of the programmers we had available for work, plus everybody in India and anybody else, too.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the kind of gloom and doom scenario that I forecast didn't happen in the 90s. But now it is happening, partly because of the recession and because people are much more cost conscious. And now I'm taking some heat because it appears that I'm defending or endorsing something that causes jobs to be lost in the United States. But, you know, it's the same thing we've seen in the manufacturing industry, the textile industry. You know, this is unfortunately just a fact of life.
A lot of people are protesting. A lot of people are doing it in their minds, if not out on the streets, this thing called globalization. And all you're talking about is just another element of this whole globalization phenomenon. But the truth is, Ed, globalization has been going on since the first transaction happened, you know, 10, 15,000 years ago, hasn't it?
It has. It's moving faster, and it's made a lot easier now because of the Internet and, you know, the information explosion and so forth. So that, you know, before, perhaps you had a few years to see it coming, and you could either pretend it wasn't coming or get ready
right.
for it. Now it can happen literally overnight. You know, you might think you've got a good, safe, secure job, and tomorrow morning you find that all of it has been outsourced to Bangalore or Beijing or wherever. So I think that's the big change. As you say, it's been going on forever. Also, the physical barriers are no longer there. I mean, more and more things really are based on information, and that can flow across, you know, any kind of internet connection. So that the kind of tariff barriers that we've been seeing over the last couple of days in the steel industry just don't exist in any kind of information-oriented job or industry.
Well, and as more of our world becomes information-based, this is something, the things that Ed's talking about right now, this is not going to level off anyway soon. It's going to continue. The only thing that's going to happen is that it's, you know, it may ultimately level off across the world, but it could take a generation or more. And we're going to get Ed's thoughts on that right after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Ed Yordan, the author of Byte Wars, The Impact of September 11 on Information Technology. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate Ed Yordan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. If you're looking for him online, you want to Google him, or you want to look for him on any of the online bookstores. The last name is spelled Yordon. Ed Yordan. Ed, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's same as my name. It's www.yordan.com.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, all sorts of things. A lot of the articles that I've written, a list of the books that I've written, lots of links and pointers to other interesting things. I do specialize in the IT or software industry, so you won't see things on how to bake a cake or whatever, but all kinds of things about software engineering and programming and some of the issues that we've been talking about this morning.
Ed, I wrote an article a couple of months ago called "In the Journey of Intellectual Property from Memories to Megabytes." And I want to read a short paragraph from that and get your thoughts on it. The word most often used to either embrace or curse the paradigm shift nearest you, depending on whether you're riding on that shift or being harmed by it, is technology. But technology is really just the utility term used to identify the tools, fuel, delivery conduits, and receptacles of intellectual property. Anyone who curses technology is really cursing something that is as inherent in humans as the heartbeat, our intellect, and the instincts to grow it.
Fantastic. Well written. You should be an author.
I ought to be one. The more I thought about people, I've thought a lot about people complaining about globalization, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what are they really complaining about? The people that you and I know who are doing global trade, they're not bad guys. They're not mean people. I'm doing global trade. You are, too. You've got clients overseas. I have subscribers to my newsletter and listeners to the show who are overseas. So I'm exporting services. I'm exporting property, a product, I should say, overseas. But I'm not a bad guy. I know you're not. So it's all about our ability to use our intellect to create new tools and to leverage our business model with those tools. What's the difference in that and business that was being done 5,000 years ago?
Well, you know, I think some of this has to do with, unfortunately, the kind of prejudice that one might associate with different nationalities or religions or ethnic things or whatever. You know, a variation of what you just said is that we face competition from the other side of the country and the other side of town and the other side of the state for a long time, and we haven't complained about that. But if the competition comes from the other side of the ocean, you know, from people of a different nationality or race or ethnic group or whatever, somehow we think that that's not fair. But it's exactly the same thing, and the way we deal with that competition is the same way. You know, you have to differentiate yourself. You have to make sure you've got a good relationship with your clients. You've got to make sure your value proposition is compelling, which is really important if your competitors are three times cheaper than you are. You can't just take it for granted and say, well, it's not fair that somebody who's of a different color and a different religion should be allowed to compete with us and take our jobs away.
What's going to happen with the IT industry, with these computer programming jobs that are going overseas that we're losing here in America? What's going to be the result of that over the next 5 years?
Well, the very important thing to keep in mind is that it's not an all-or-nothing proposition. It's not, at least yet, as bad as the steel and textile industries where 80 or 90% of it disappeared. All of the estimates that I've seen suggest that over the next few years, maybe 5 years, we may lose 10 to 20% of our programming jobs. Now, that's still a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means on a personal level is that if you're in the bottom 10 or 20%, then you're in trouble, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And what you got to do is figure out how to make sure that you're somewhere in the upper 80%, because those jobs will stay here. You know, it's not going to just disappear completely over the next 5 years or so. But all of the commodity jobs, all of the humdrum, you know, things that can be done by anybody anywhere are going to shift to either India or China or Russia or any one of a number of places. So that's really what we're looking at short term is that 10 or 20%.
Well, and, you know, I said something. I talked about import-export in a half an hour earlier in the show last hour, Ed, and I quoted Frederick Bastiat, who over 150 years ago said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And so we may not like the fact that Russia and China are going to have these jobs. We may not like the idea that India is going to have these jobs. But you know what? All three of those countries have nuclear weapons. Isn't it better that they're taking our jobs than taking our lives?
Sounds like a better option to me. Absolutely.
I mean, but now all we got to do is figure out how to be successful around that. And isn't that planning that brain power put into how can we compete with these people? Isn't that much better than all the effort that we put into the Cold War to keep them from blowing us up?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the reasons that I've been criticized most recently in this whole area is the argument that we still have the creativity and innovation in the computer field, which I think is still largely true. So that while we might lose the humdrum, you know, kind of ordinary jobs, the commodity jobs, we should still be able to create and continue innovating new things. But we have to be careful not to take that for granted, because there are some very innovative and creative people in other parts of the world
right.
as well. But it really puts more emphasis on focusing on the innovation and creativity to create new jobs before they, you know, they disappear overseas.
The problem with what we've got right now, Ed, it seems to me, is that we're just now recognizing the velocity of the change. Things have always been changing, but now the velocity's picked up so much. And until we become acclimated to that, it's going to be frightening. It's going to be scary and painful. Stand by.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Ed Jordan. 10 till. Stay with us. We've got ZZ Top taking us out. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ed Jordan is our guest. And don't forget to check out his website, folks. That's Jordan, YOURDON.com. Lots of good stuff there. And pay attention to any time you read an article about any of the IT stuff that we're talking about right now, especially from a globalization standpoint. Pay attention. You probably got a good chance to see an Ed quoted in those articles, because he's the go-to guy for most of the major publications, for any major publication about this sort of thing. So check that out. I know, Ed, you were quoted in the Journal, what, about a month or so ago on some things. They did something on that.
Ed, yeah, beginning of October, another article about this whole thing.
Ed, you know, the problem we've got right now, it seems to me, not just with IT but with everything, is we need to be taking the long view of how all this is rolling out, all this globalization is rolling out. But it's hard to do that when we've got all these immediate crises in the form of losing jobs. It's hard to take the long view. It's sort of like, you know, a recession is when somebody else loses their job, and a depression is when you lose your job.
Well, that's certainly true. On the other hand, I think actually that your listeners, the small business people, are probably at an advantage here. You know, if you're a very talented, above-average professional working in a big company, you may find that you're out of a job not because of anything you've done wrong, but because the overall productivity or cost-effectiveness of your company isn't competitive anymore. In a small business or as a one-person operation, you're a lot more flexible and nimble. you know, you're only responsible for yourself, so to speak, so that, you know, you can compete, I think, a lot more effectively and change a lot more quickly as you see this competitive situation growing.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and thank you for saying that, Ed. One of the things I wanted to ask you is along the lines of what I've been talking to small business owners about how to be competitive, and that is not giving people what they need, because you said it a while ago, that's a commodity. If you give people what they need, all you're doing is you're going to get into a price war. But what people don't just need things, they also want things. And in the definition of what I want is customization. And
right.
That's where small business owners have an advantage. And so my question to you is, what can the IT industry in America do to focus on giving people what they want and not so much what they need? Because the need part, that's those mindless jobs you said that are going to go where the cheapest labor is.
Well, since so much emphasis today is on cost-cutting and saving money and so forth, I think the IT people have got to look for very innovative ways to help businesses save not just a few nickels and dimes, but larger amounts of money, you know, not by making incremental improvements through some kind of commodity price-cutting thing with cheaper programmers,
mm-hmm.
but some novel new ways of helping people do their business to, you know, to make substantial improvements in cost cutting, you know, and that's going to take some hard thinking and some clever ideas and some really deep understanding of how their clients' businesses operate. I think there are plenty of opportunities there, but you've really got to be innovative.
Over the next 5 years, Ed, what do you see? How do you see the information technology industry? What do you think are there going to be any repercussions, any backlashes? And I heard the other day that some companies are bringing back their call centers from overseas because of some backlashes from some of their, you know, from some of their customers. Is that going to happen in the IT industry?
Well, sure, there's going to be some of it. I suspect there was some also in the auto industry and the textile industry and, you know, all the other ones. You know, this stuff is not going to happen you know, smoothly necessarily or in a 100% kind of phenomenon. There are going to be some failures and mistakes and backlashes and so forth, but I think the overall trend is going to be anything that looks like a commodity moving to the places where it could be done, you know, cheapest and fastest and best and so forth. You know, I don't think you can really depend on the fact that your job might be saved by a backlash phenomenon.
Right.
So, like I say, over the next 5 years, you just have to assume that 10 or 20 or maybe even 30% of the IT jobs and the lawyer jobs and the mortgage broker jobs and the call center jobs and any information content jobs are going to move overseas.
I even heard some architectural jobs are moving overseas.
Patent lawyers, you know, just clinical research technicians,
mm-hmm.
You know, anything where the bulk of the job involves, you know, somebody making decisions and dealing with information is vulnerable.
Yeah.
You just have to make sure that you're not in that bottom 10 or 20 or 30%, and that's going to involve constant upgrading and innovation.
Ed, thank you for being here today. Good job, as always. We appreciate your time and your information.
Thank you.
Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.